Welcome back to the show, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Coming up on the show, we'll have the artistic director of Wild Claw Theater joining us to talk about their Death Scribe radio program, which we'll get to. And we're also going to talk about some classic, really disgusting sandwiches. And Esmeralda and I are going to compete in a little TV trivia game. But that, what you just heard right there, was Great Moments in Vinyl in their rehearsal of Ruby Tuesday, which sounded great to me. And they're a unique concert experience. It's the band. They tell the story behind the song before they perform it. And on Friday, December 2nd, this Friday, they're going to be paying tribute to the Rolling Stones at Martyrs, where they actually perform all the time. And Martyrs is a great room, and it's located at 3855 North Lincoln. $10 to get in, 8:30 is the showtime. Their website is Great Moments in Vinyl, and we have a link on our Facebook page. The guy who puts this together and started the whole thing is Lindsey Cochran, a good friend of the show, and he joins us now over the phone. Hey, Lindsey.
Hey, Nick. Thanks so much for having us back.
That's my pleasure. Always a pleasure. Before we have a couple of other people who are going to be part of the Rolling Stone show on Friday. Before we do that, for people who might not know, explain Great Moments in Vinyl, what it is, and how you got it started.
Well, what we do is play music that we love. You know, there are tribute bands that try to emulate a recording, and I always find myself when I go to see one of them, I end up not so much enjoying the spontaneity of the music, but I'm listening to, how close did they come? Did they get those nuances just right? And that's not what it should be about. I think it should be about the fun of hearing the songs, the fun of discovering that music again, hearing it played live, whatever album it is. So what we try to do is find worthwhile albums that made an impact in the culture, that made an impression on people that we grew up with and just loved, and put those on stage, you know, and play them start to finish. So, you know, because when you were growing up, you know, unless you just had to listen to the whole thing. You didn't have the opportunity, really, to hop out of the seat all the time and move the needle over when you want to skip a track. So you heard all the album, even the tracks you didn't necessarily so much like.
Yeah.
We put them all on stage. You get the full album experience. And I got to say, I've been very fortunate to work with musicians that are just dynamic. I mean, there's not a musician I work with that I don't listen to and think, well, they're performing at some point. Damn, how does he do that? How does she do that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just great music made by people that love playing it.
Yeah, I mean, the revolving door of talent that you have with each gig, Lindsey, is kind of jaw-dropping, and I'm lucky enough that you have brought in many of those musicians to talk and to play live here. And you have a nice connection to the Old Town School of Folk, correct?
Yes. You know, I started off as a student there, and I was just listening to some of the instructors run these classes. They have ensemble classes there where maybe they would do a bunch of Rolling Stone songs for 8 weeks or a bunch of Cream songs or Nirvana, you know, and I was hear these people leading the classes play so well, and I thought to myself, you know, we should put this on a stage somewhere, not just a talent night, talent show night at the Old Town School, but let's charge for it. Put on a nice show.
Well, you guys do a great job, and I want to welcome to the show a couple of people who will be on stage with you on Friday night as
My
part
two
of this,
vocalists for
as
this part, show.
Your two vocalists, one who is an old friend of mine I've known for a long time, has been on the show as well, is Phil Angotti. Hey, Phil, how are you, man?
Hey, Nick, how are you?
Good, man, good. Did you watch the Hawks game last night?
Sure. Of course I did.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Let's
nice OT win.
Yeah, absolutely. And Crow was on his head, by the way.
Exactly.
All right, and also joining us, another vocalist for Friday night's performance, is Rachel Drew. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Hi,
guys.
Hi. Hey, guys.
Hey.
All right. So, Lindsey, how are the rehearsals going? I mean, I heard Ruby Tuesday, and it sounded great.
Oh, man. I mean, you were just playing it now, and admittedly, I'm listening over the phone. I'm thinking to myself, oh, they decided to play a Rolling Stones track rather than our rehearsal thing. Wow, you know, Phil is just a dynamic singer. he feels this stuff. Maybe it was Ruby Tuesday. Maybe it was She's a Rainbow in rehearsal the other day. I'm just thinking, Phil was born to sing 60s psychedelic music, you know?
Yeah.
He does a great job.
Phil, tell everybody a little bit. Tell everybody a little about your background. I mean, you know, anybody who knows music, the music scene in Chicago knows who you are. But give everybody a little background on how you got started and all that.
Well, I was a pretty young guy when I was learning guitar. I took lessons when I was like 8 years old, and my background is just loving rock and roll, especially the Beatles. Everybody knows that. I had some older cousins that made it a mission to make me into a Stones fan. And certainly worked over the years. So I've kind of grown up with these records and have played a lot of the music over the years in various bands. But, you know, when you do an album like this, there's so many songs you haven't touched, so it's really fun getting into it. But that's kind of what I do. I just love music, and I go back and play a lot of old 60s and, I mean, a lot of current music too, but that's my favorite. That's what I feel like I'm best at. So I really, really love doing it.
Yeah, this is
some of us have to work at music. I always think of Phil as just being effortless at it. You know, he just picks up the guitar and opens his mouth, and there it is.
Yeah, yeah. I've been watching Phil. I've been watching Phil around town and known him for like 25 years. I mean, it's great every time. Every time I see you perform, Phil, it's great every time.
Thank you,
Rachel. Let's hear from you. You're a first timer to the show. Tell everybody about your background and how you got into music.
I am. So I was born into a family of musicians, and my parents were a folk duo. That's how they met as teenagers. And then I was born a few years later, and I'd sing with them all the time. I my dad started getting me to sing harmony when I was 5.
Wow.
And he's the one who taught me to sing bluesy too. And so that's I've only been doing professional work for a few years.
Mm-hmm. Now, I look here, and I'm looking at a biography of yours, and it says that you grew up near Diversey in Sheffield, and you could hear the Ravenswood L from your bedroom at night.
It's true. I grew up at 1103 West George, and I could hear the Ravenswood L.
Rachel, I grew up at 1825 West Addison, the house next to the Addison Brown Line stop.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I know. I mean, I had people looking in my bedroom window while they were waiting for the train. That's how.
Yeah. It wasn't me, I swear.
No. And I know. But I was just. It was when I read your bio. I was like, oh man, that's cool. She lived right by the Ravenswood L as well. That, by the way, that was called. It used, for people who don't know, it used to be called the Ravenswood Line.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So did you take lessons, Rachel? Did you, you know, I know your parents obviously influenced you big time, but did you end up taking lessons?
Yeah, I did in college. I went to Oberlin College and I took operatic voice lessons for about a year. And I realized in that time that they were training me to sing in a way that I didn't want to sound that way. I didn't want to place my voice on my nose. I didn't want to sound pretty. I wanted to I sing in a more in a rougher style, and I didn't want to sound like an opera singer. So.
Yeah. Well,
but I do know how to support my voice and all of that.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to want to sound like an opera singer when you're covering the Stones either, so that's
exactly right.
So Lindsay, how'd you hook up with Rachel?
She's just one of the people I've known around through the Old Town School connections.
Okay.
You put out your first album, I think, last year, or was it earlier this year? And I knew she was out making music and turning heads, and she had actually come up to me at a show a year or so ago and said she'd love to work with us. So she was part of the Rolling Stones gig we did at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
She's just very good in front of a crowd with the
great
way that she tells a melody.
That's great. So, Rachel, you're part of the Old Town School of Folk then, too.
Yeah, I started as a student there about 11 years ago, and honestly, growing up with my parents playing guitar, I didn't have a lot of desire to do it because they were so good, and I have been singing my whole life, so anyway, this was like a safe space to start playing guitar and sounding bad and not have my parents know about it. So.
That's good.
Yeah.
So Lindsay, you the two albums that you guys are doing on Friday, tell everybody what they are.
Oh my gosh. And there's a story behind that. I mean, we had done, Bruce Springsteen's The River at the beginning of last year, and
right.
Double record set.
Right.
And I thought, you know, I told the guys at Martyrs, hey, we'd love to try to do a Friday night show for you. And they said, yeah. And I said, how about we do a double album, Exile on Main Street? And they said, oh, that sounds great. So I took a look on Wikipedia, and there it is, 68 minutes.
Hmm.
And it's a Friday night, you know, so we got some time to film. We want to make the club happy and make sure that we invite the crowd that wants to blow off steam on a Friday night with plenty of music to enjoy.
Right.
So Phil and I got to talking, and we thought, well, what else can we do? You know, we don't necessarily want to learn an additional whole studio album, but we looked at some of the greatest hits collections, and Through the Past Darkly emerged as a good choice. It's a lot of the mid to late period 60s hits that the Rolling Stones had. And, you know, I mean, the Stones started off as kind of a blues rock group, paying homage to Muddy Waters and the Chicago blues musicians. Then the Beatles hit, and it kind of set the tone for psychedelic pop and just crafted pop music, if you will. And the Rolling Stones went in that direction with songs like Ruby Tuesday and She's a Rainbow. And then they kind of decided that wasn't really where they should be. And they came back swinging with Jumpin' Jack Flash and never looked back, went into Let It Bleed and Sticky Fingers, and I'm missing an album in there too, but Exile Main Street.
Four record sequence
there of the Stones just at their prime.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a five-album stretch there that the Stones had that if you don't own them, you don't have a complete record collection.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically all there is to it. All right, listen, hang on, Lindsay, and I do, as people who regularly listen know, when we have you guys on, Lindsay, you end up telling stories in between the songs, and I want to talk about that. And for those people who are not aware of the recording process of Exile, there are a lot of stories.
Juicy ones. I don't know if I can tell them all on the radio.
I don't think you can tell them all on the radio. I can't even say I can't even say the title of the movie about the recording sessions on the air. I can't even say the title. So we will. But we're going to hear more. Lindsay, hang on, okay?
Yes, sir.
And Phil, hang on, please.
Yep.
And Rachel, please hang on. And we're going to hear more from these guys. Here's the deal. These are Lindsey Cochran's a great guy who puts together some of the best musicians in the city, if not the city, and the country. And they put on these great shows, and they're doing a special tribute to the Stones on a Friday night. Now, normally it's a Thursday, but they're doing a Friday this week, coming up this week. And we're going to talk more about the Stones and more about Great Moments in Vinyl. You can get all the information on our Facebook page as well. We're going to take a break here. Yeah. Classic. Yes. Great Moments in Vinyl. That's Great Moments in Vinyl. In rehearsal for their upcoming gig this Friday night, December 2nd, where they're going to pay tribute to the Stones at Martyrs, and they're going to play all of Exile on Main Street as part of the night. Rachel Drew is a vocalist who's going to be there. She's on the phone. Phil Angotti is on the phone as well, and Lindsay Cochran is here, who put the whole thing together. Lindsay, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Phil, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Rachel, welcome back. Okay.
Hi.
Would you like to, Lindsay, give us a little story behind
Absolutely.
Exile? Because it's a pretty amazing story about the making of Exile on Main Street.
Well, actually, I was going to jump back a little further. I do have some good Exile stories. Let me see if I got one that I can pull up real quick here. I was actually going to set the stage and talk about Mick Geith, who actually goes way back as friends.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell that story, Lindsay, yeah.
Mick once told Rolling Stone, we lived one street away. We were at school together from age 7 to age 11. We used to play together. I can't imagine the two of them, but that casual friendship became something much more when they ran into each other as teenagers on a train platform. Mick was carrying records by Chuck Berry and Muddy Waters. Keith was carrying a guitar, and they sat together on the train to London and talked about rock and roll and the blues. Keith was so excited by their conversation that he invited Mick over for tea that afternoon so that they could listen to records together. I'm just picturing Keith inviting Mick over for tea.
Yeah.
At the end of the listening party, the budding singer invited the fledgling guitarist to join his band. But this was not the crucial moment, of course. That came along later when Brian Jones invited two of them to be a part of a blues and rock and roll band he was putting together, a band that he came up with using a name that he found on a Muddy Waters album, much like the one that Mick had under his arm. One of the songs on side one was simply named Rolling Stone.
Yeah, yeah. Classic stuff. Let me ask you, Phil, what is it about Exile that makes it so special? I mean, during that time period, like as we talked about in the last segment, that stretch of time, those back-to-back albums by the Stones were just incredible. What's the mystique about Exile, though, in your opinion?
You could hear the tension and the just the guts and the moodiness of the whole record. You know, when you hear the stories about them dripping sweat in the basement, which is why, you know, Ventilator Blues has the title.
Yeah.
You could almost hear the down. It's a down and gritty album. All the roots that they started with, the blues influence, the gospel, just the early rock and roll, the Chuck Berry stuff, it's all there. And they've already kind of got their sound. The Stones have really come to age with, you know, Sticky Fingers. And here they are at the peak of their rock and roll, you know, power. And it's just this record just incredible. And it was, again, recorded under very strange circumstances and not the most comfortable settings and, you know, wild hours. And, you know, there's just a million stories, which Lindsay will tell at the show.
Yeah.
But
I think there's a bit of desperation to the album.
Amazing.
I mean, because,
yep,
because these guys were
absolutely
all tax exiles, you know. At that time, the tax rate was,
for
that kind of wealth, 93%. I mean, wrap your mind around that.
Yeah,
made
crazy,
a million pounds, you had to keep 70,000 of them, you know. And so these guys were all uprooted out of their comfort zone, out of their country in England. They decamped to France, and they set up in all along the coast of France, and the aim to make music. But they didn't have anything else to fall back on. They were totally out of their element.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Bill Wyman complains about not being able to find tea and proper milk to play, you know?
Now,
a player's dream too to play these songs because of the open tunings and the different styles guitar playing. You know, and they always say it's Keith's album. And it kind of is, even though Mick sings his butt off on it. But it's fun to play, very fun.
Oh man, Nick! I mean, to see the guitarist at the show, to see Phil playing and Richard Pettengill, who's been with us, and then Phil, you brought in a friend of yours. I mean, just the three of them. There's just this beatific look on their faces when they're playing.
Yeah, Gene Kilty. He's an old friend of mine, and he loves the music, and he knows it, you know. Just and he's really great, happy to be part of it.
Yeah. Now, Lindsay or Rachel, what's your background with the Stones? When did you first start listening to the Stones? Did you listen to them when you were a kid, or was it a while later?
I mean, I did hear the Stones when I was a kid, and I remember the first time I heard them, and not really understanding the music. I wanted to like them because my cousin liked them, and. You know, it seemed like a really cool thing to do. But I grew up hearing a lot of folk and classical. And, you know, my dad gave me a Ruth Brown record. I mean, I actually think a lot of my influences are the same as theirs. And so as I've gotten older, I've started to really like them.
Yeah.
But
you have a real soulfulness to your singing. You know, I think that really comes in handy with singing the Stone stuff.
Now, Lindsay, so you guys are doing a Friday. There's a real good chance I'm going to be there because, you know,
oh my gosh.
Normally you guys do it on weeknights and I'm, you know, I usually sleep and nap, but, there's a real good chance I'm going to be there, Lindsay. I'll let you know.
Well, there's a couple, you'll be in good company. I should mention a couple things that, Frankie Lee, of XRT fame.
Yes, good old Frankie Lee.
Is going to be there to help with some of the storytelling. And then the club also turned to us and said, hey, you know, the 2nd of December, that's the release date for the new Stones album, Blue and Lonesome. Do you mind if we tuck a little listening party in before and after your set?
Wow.
Sure.
That's great, man.
It's going to be a long night.
Yeah, it's going to be a long night. All right. Listen, you guys.
I like it.
As always, Lindsay, thank you. And Phil, a pleasure, man. And
always great to talk
to you, man. And Rachel, nice to meet you. And I'll see you on Friday. Lindsay, I know you guys are taking January off, and you'll come back with a to be announced show in February. Correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you guys will obviously be on the show to talk about that as well.
Oh, I would love it.
Okay. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you,
and
sir.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, you guys,
thanks so
take
much.
Care. Yep. And that's Lindsay Cochran and and Phil Angotti and Rachel Drew. And they are part of Great Moments in Vinyl, which is a great concert experience. They're going to play all of Exile on Main Street, one of the greatest rock and roll albums ever recorded, paying tribute to the Rolling Stones. And it's this Friday, December 2nd. Starts at 8:30. It's only $10 to get in, and it's at Martyrs on Lincoln Avenue, which is one of the best rooms in the city to see a show. These guys are great, and it's always a pleasure to have Lindsey and whatever great musicians he has with him on the show. GreatMomentsInVinyl.com, and you can check out our Facebook page for further information. The news is coming up right after this break.